For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Rules for the Husband and Wife, as we pick up in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
I remember when I was a kid, there used to be along the highway these Burma Shave signs. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many remember that, because I wouldn't date you back to my tintype flash powder days. But I remember as a kid reading one of those signs along the road between Los Angeles and Ventura, up in the area of Thousand Oaks. When the Lions, Goebbels Lion Farm used to be out that way, and that old dirigible that they were building alongside of the road. And the sign said, famous last words of lights that shine. If he doesn't dim his, I won't dim mine. I won't yield first. I won't give in. You've got to yield to me. And that's the basis of so much striving and so much fighting. How much strife could be avoided if we would just submit to one another in love? Yield the point. And so, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, the word head meaning authority there, even as Christ is the authority or the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Now, this is the one rule for marriage that God has given to the wife. Only one. Should be simple enough for her to keep the one rule. Why would you suppose God would make such a rule? Because God understands men. And God knows that in man there is that male macho image. That somehow a man needs to feel that he's in control, that he is able, that he can handle the situation, that he is boss. I mean, that's just a part of the male ego. And God understanding the male ego and man's needs, gave to the wife the one rule by which her husband can feel that he is really the man of the house and in control, and thus be very compatible and loving towards her. And so he gave the women just one simple rule, which if she would follow, would make her husband a very responsible, loving person. Easy to get along with. Now, God gave one rule to the husbands. Just one. God knows we're prone to forget, so just one rule for each. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, why would God command the husbands to love their wives so totally and supremely? Because God understands women. And he understands the needs in women. And he understands that one of the greatest needs that a woman has is to feel the security that she is loved supremely by her husband. That there is no one else that can attract his eye or attract his attention. That she is queen. And that she is loved supremely. She needs that. And so God commanded the husbands to fulfill that need in the woman so that she could feel the security of her husband's love, knowing I am number one in his life. Now, all marital problems stem out of the disobedience of these two rules. There are only two rules for a happy marriage. One for the husband, one for the wife. But marriages get in trouble because these rules are broken. And when they are broken, they begin to compound. When the husband fails to show his wife that kind of love that Christ had for the church, and she begins to feel insecure, and I don't know if he really loves me or not, she then feels the necessity of beginning to protect herself, because I don't know if he is going to protect me or not. And so she begins to challenge the decisions that he makes. Are you sure you're doing the right thing? But as she begins to challenge the decisions that he makes, that upsets him because that means he's not the boss and supreme. You ought to know. And so as she begins to challenge his decision-making processes, he begins to feel that he is being challenged, and I must now show that I am boss by becoming tough and hard and cold and unresponsive. And as he becomes tough and unresponsive, she gets all the more insecure, so she challenges him all the more. You know, I don't know if this character really loves me or not. And I don't think what he's planning to do is that smart. And if we lose everything, he's probably going to walk out himself because I'm not really assured that he really loves me. And so she's challenging. But this challenging has a reverse effect upon him, causing him to become cold and aloof, and I'll show you I'm boss, you know. And so the marriage is torn apart. On the other hand, as the wife is submitting unto him and to his decisions, honey, well, you know, I just leave that with you. You're the one that takes care of that. I'm just trusting you. He gets the feeling, this precious little doll, I don't know what I'm doing right or not, but, oh, boy, she trusts me in this. You know, all right. Now he begins to feel that. Oh, you're a sweetheart. Come here, honey, you know, and he hugs her, and you're just a doll. I love you, angel, you know, and he feels a freedom of expressing and showing his love to her. And the more he expresses and shows that love to her, the more secure she feels. She doesn't feel that she has to challenge his decisions. Well, it's probably dumb. We'll lose everything, but I still got him, and he loves me, you know, and after all, we can get by. We've got love. And she feels that security of love, and thus she feels the freedom of submitting to him. And because she does submit, he feels that total freedom of expressing that love that he has for her. And it just gets gooder and gooder as we are following the rules. But you see, it has a way of compounding. You start going one way and it starts building up to drive you further and further apart. And so if you find yourself way out here in your marriage, you know, where every decision is challenged. Why are you wearing that shirt this morning? You sure want to wear that tie? If I were you, I'd wear a different pair of shoes. And you know, you may even agree with what he wants to do, but still you're going to challenge it. Think I'll take you out for dinner tonight, honey. Oh, I don't know if I want to go for dinner or not. Challenge it. Don't let him get by making a decision. Now, somewhere, someone has to give. You have to break this routine that is driving you and tearing you apart. You've got to break the routine, and someone has to give in. The husband has to begin to show more love to his wife. He has to cause her to really feel secure in that love. He's got to feel, he's got to go ahead and just express his love. Let her know that there's no one else and there will never be anyone else, that she is it for life till death do us part, and he has no intention or desire for anybody else. She is it. And as she begins to feel that security, then she'll be able to be freer to allow him to do those things that he feels that he ought to do or wants to do. And you can get the thing going the other direction until it becomes heaven on earth. As we are following now God's rules, which takes into consideration the basic need of the husband as a man and the basic need of the wife as a woman. God's so smart. You know, he has it all set out. And he puts it so simply. Rather than here are the, 55 rules for a happy marriage. He knows you'd forget them. So he gives you one. But even we have difficulty with a one, don't we? We forget so readily. Well, she ought to know I love her. I come home for dinner after all. You know, there's something interesting about women. And of course, that's why we're attracted to them. But I really don't think that you can tell your wife enough times that you love her. You know, if when she first opens her eyes in the morning, you look over and you see her in bed. And you say, "Ah, darling, you're beautiful, I love you." And then as you're sitting across from her at the breakfast table, and you just look into her eyes and say, "Sweetheart, I love you so much." And then as you kiss her goodbye and head off for work, and you say, "Love you, honey. See you later." And if two or three times during the day you call up and she says, "Hi, what do you want?" "Oh, I just wanted to tell you, honey, I love you and I think you're great." Believe me, when you go to bed at night, you're going to hear the question, "Honey, do you love me?" Take a hint, fellas. They need assurance of love. And not just verbal. Love is demonstrated in its actions, and love is demonstrated in its giving. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Giving of yourself to her. Showing your love in your giving yourself to her. The rules for a happy home. Paul goes on and draws on this illustration of Christ and the church as an illustration, really, of the perfect marital kind of a relationship. He gave himself for the church that he might set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. You know, the wife who is smothered with love will just blossom forth so beautifully. As we blossom forth in the love of Jesus, the purpose is that he might present to himself a glorious church without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And he that loves his wife is really doing himself a favor. He's loving himself. You're the one that's going to benefit from your showing your love to your wife. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. It's a great mystery, but I am speaking, Paul said, concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So, relationships. Submitting ourselves to one another. Wives submitting to their husbands. Husbands loving their wives supremely. Now, parent-child relationships. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That "in the Lord," I think, is important. If your parents are not godly, and if your parents are demanding you to do things or requiring you to do things that are improper from a spiritual base, then I do not believe that obedience is required, but obey your parents in the Lord. There is the higher conscience to God, where we must obey God rather than man. If what is being required of me would violate my conscience towards God, then that has to be the guiding standard of my life. Even in wives submitting to their husbands, again, there is the guiding standard of your conscience towards God. If your husband is requiring something that would affect your conscience before God, then I do not believe that you have to submit. Your husband isn't really loving you as Christ loved the church, or he wouldn't require you to do that. So in all of these issues, there is that higher authority of God in our lives and our conscience towards him. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, a lot of commandments. This is the first one that had a promise attached to it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, that it might be well with you and your days long upon the earth. Now, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I think one of the cruelest things that I have observed fathers doing sometimes is teasing their children to the point of distraction, getting a kick out of the frenzied little child. You know, holding out a piece of candy or a cookie, and then as they're reaching out, pull it back. And then holding it out and pulling it back. And creating a child, just creating frustration until the child can't handle itself. Provoke not your children to wrath. That's a cruel thing to do. It's cruel to derive humor or whatever from this kind of teasing of a child. It isn't right. It's mentally abusing the child. But some people get sort of a kick out of seeing the little child just scream in a frenzy by frustration, can't do anything about it. Provoke not your children to wrath. I think that we can provoke our children to wrath by demanding unreasonable achievements from them. After all, it's my child. They've got to be a genius. They're so smart. They're talking before anybody else. They're walking on. And my child just has to be super smart and special. And so we sometimes are trying to push them beyond their capacities. And thus, that creates frustration. We need to be careful that we don't push them to the point of frustration. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Teach them about God. Teach them the things of God and the ways of God. Servants, employees, be obedient to your bosses according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Now, we're told in the scriptures that whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all to the glory of Christ, or do what you do as unto Christ. No matter what kind of a job I am doing, I am a witness for Jesus Christ, and therefore I want to do it good for his sake, so that people will think well of Christianity because the job that I am doing is super special. I'm giving an extra effort. I'm not complaining. I'm going an extra mile. I'm doing more than what is required of me, that my life might be a good witness for Jesus Christ. We have many young people that have gone from Calvary Chapel on these kibbutz programs over in Israel. And they have left a good witness because of the way that they work without complaining. They're good attitudes. Why? Because they go over and they are working as unto the Lord. They've taken the right attitude with them, doing their work as unto the Lord, and it leaves a powerful witness as these in the kibbutzim observe their work.
We've all heard it. Love makes the world go round. Love is the answer. All you need is love. But what is love, really? If it's so powerful, why does it so often seem so hard to find? In his inspiring and down-to-earth book, Love, the More Excellent Way, Pastor Chuck Smith takes you on a journey to discover the true meaning of love, the kind of love that flows straight from the heart of God. You'll learn what genuine love looks like, how it transforms lives, and how you can experience it for yourself. Love, the More Excellent Way is also available as an audiobook and study guide, perfect for personal devotion or group study. Don't just talk about love, live it. Order your copy of Love, the More Excellent Way today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Love, the greatest gift from the heart of God. Now here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless, guide your life this week. When those decisions have to be made, may the Lord give you a very strong impression to lead you into his path of righteousness. And may you experience God's power working in your life in a very special way. May the love of Christ just fill your heart and overflow, that lives around you might be touched because of what the Lord has done for you. May you be his witnesses, a testimony to others by the love of Christ that shines forth from you.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ephesians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Ephesians 5 through 6. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Church on the edge of town. Do, 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 do. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.